So while the rest of us are less likely to drink it from a shoe, wine is incredibly popular across the world. But why really does it matter where and when we invented it? Why should we spend time and money digging up the past like this? Natalia Hanziak argues it tells us a lot about ourselves today.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as you get more into asking questions of the past, you realize that you're really asking the questions that are important to us today. So the questions that we're asking might not even be relevant to people who lived 10,000 years ago, might not be something they think about. But the fact that it's something that we're thinking about today tells us a lot about what it is to be a person in the 21st century. So archaeology is fundamentally figuring out where humans came from and why we are the way we are today. So the materials that we look at, especially things like ceramics and plaster, we're investigating the first times humans made synthetic material. And synthetic material is a big part of our existence today. But furthermore, things like ceramic and like obsidian are still used as components in tools we use today, which is very cool.
When you're looking at things from, you know, thousands of years ago, do you feel a kind of connection with the past?
Absolutely. Pulling something out of the ground that hasn't been touched in 10,000 years gives you a really close and intimate connection with the last person who touched it. You might not know who that person is, but it's a kind of connection through time and a little bit through space between yourself and essentially people who came before that made us who we are today.
And I've been here for just under a week, and so I haven't been getting up as early as you guys, sort of 5 a.m. starts, back-breaking labor. What keeps you doing it? Because it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not an easy pursuit, but it's one that is incredibly rewarding. And part of it is that we work with people to get the work done. So you're forging human connections with people who you wouldn't necessarily work with daily. We are very, very lucky to work with incredible Georgian students, for instance. But also the experience of pulling something out of the ground and really revealing parts of a puzzle that you might or might not be able to put together in a coherent way is sort of like catnip. It'll just keep you going and keep you coming back for more.
Kind of like gambling.
A little bit like gambling.
Natalia Hanziak there. So how different really are we from our Neolithic ancestors? Back to Cambridge University's Eske Willerslev.
There has been some evidence suggesting the hunter-gatherers that originally came into Europe, their appearance was quite different from today. I mean, they had much darker skin. They had blue or gray eyes. So they would have looked different from present-day Europeans. They would have language, but it would have been the hunter-gatherer language was most likely be very different from the language we are speaking today, because you know the Indo-European languages are first really getting coming into Europe during early Bronze Age with the Yamnaya expansion.
They have all these, you say they brought in all these innovations, but we know these days we know about farming, we have all these sort of scientific reasoning behind us, but they wouldn't have known any of this. So how did they make so many innovations?
What made the farmers so successful is that for some reason, they must have had more children that survived, basically. I mean, so the population growth of the farmers seems to have been larger than among the hunter-gatherers. And it's kind of ironic in the sense that if you look at the health state of the farmers, it actually looks like the health state is poorer among the farmers than it is among the hunter-gatherers. So you can say in some ways, it was a less good life, if you want. I mean, that's how it looks, at least from the skeletons. I mean, they have teeth problems. You know, they are fairly small. Their backs are kind of affected, you know, by the line of lifestyle. Their nutrient stage is not as good as the hunter-gatherers, but still, they seem to be, you can say, in terms of numbers, more successful than the hunter-gatherers.
The innovations they made, like, for example, that if you leave grapes out for a while, it makes wine. Mm-hmm. Would this have been intentional or accidental, do you think?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, it's not very clear exactly how the domestication happened. I mean, there's different theories on this. I mean, some believe it's kind of a very gradual thing, you know, where you start nourishing a little bit some wild crops and turning them into domestics over a long period, and it's something that happens fairly slowly. Others have argued that it's much more focused, and I don't think that's really resolved. But of course, when they're getting into Europe, they to some extent master this new way of life, at least to an extent where you can say it's successful and they make possible the spread of that lifestyle.
A lifestyle we have to thank for modern life today, the good and the bad. To put it broadly, if anyone were to ask, what have the Neolithic ever done for us? Just take a look around.